Well, welcome everyone who's come to worship today. We're very glad to have you with us, and we greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also want to greet our radio audience joining us for this hour of worship. And our broadcast hour is sponsored by Rick and Carol Cheney in memory of Carol's parents, Vernon and Carolyn, and her brother Kent. And you're listening to the service from the Pollock Memorial Presbyterian Church in Pollock, South Dakota. Our new bouquets of flowers are from the Celebration of Life service for David Allen Knudsen held in his sanctuary yesterday. And we thank Diana and family for sharing their flowers with us. And we want to pray for God's comfort for them in the days ahead. Thank everyone who contributed food for the lunch after the funeral. And thanks to those who came in on Friday to make sandwiches. And thanks to everyone who served and cleaned up. We appreciate your time and showing of Christian hospitality. I've been asked to announce for those able-bodied guys that can help us put away some tables after church. If you could give us a time to do that, it'd be appreciated. Information there that we do have the audio recording of the last two funerals posted on special services section of the website if you didn't have opportunity to be part of that. At this time, we'll have you turn to hymn number 338. And the psalmist wrote, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave." Our opening hymn is number 338. And as hymns often are, we'll be singing it as a prayer to God. Number 338, and we'll go with stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, 4, and 5, we'll omit stanza 2. Please stand and sing.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, we ask that your love would be the flame today of that holy passion that you have called us to have, that love for you with all our being, all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, we do ask that you would teach us to love you as your angels in heaven love you in perfection. And we pray, Lord, today that we would cling to the cross, that we would be people who look to Christ. And we would ask, Lord, now that your Spirit would be given to us, that we would be able to worship you as you desire. We pray, God, today that your gospel would change our lives. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Psalm 51 is our call to worship, and so the psalm is that which we pray to God. This is David's prayer, but it's also a prayer we can pray when God makes us conscious of our sin, and we want to, as we read or hear the words, actually, of the call to confession today, we want to be aware that the psalmist is saying that we are sinners from the time of our first existence, from the time we were conceived. There's never been a moment when we were not a sinner before God. When Adam and Eve sinned, we sinned and fell with them. And so David is making his confession, and it's our confession also. He is praying here, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you prove right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Last Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, the sermon was on the temptations of Christ. And again, we're thinking of this as we pray this prayer of confession that's based on the Heidelberg Catechism as it goes through the petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," or the evil one. And so we'll turn to the prayer now in the bulletin to offer this together. Almighty God, because of Christ's blood, do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us, just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace in us, to forgive our neighbors. By ourselves, we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The psalmist gives us a word of assurance here as the prayer continues. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. This time we'll turn to the Old Testament lesson, which is Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. And here we're looking at the call to Abraham. At this point in time, his name is Abram. His wife's name is Sarai, and God hasn't changed their names yet. But he is calling Abram to follow him. Abram's come out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he's lived in a place called Haran, and he is called by God here to go to the promised land. And Abram doesn't know where he's going. He's living in a tent at this point, and wherever he moves with his tent, he puts up an altar, the ancient way of worshiping God before the coming of Christ. On the altar, a sheep would be offered, or a lamb would be offered to God, as this pictured the sacrifice of Jesus. And he was known as the patriarch of the tent and the altar. And so the idea is every time when Abram moved, he was able to go to church, so to speak, in terms of what we're doing today. And we're going to read chapter 12, where the Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And so Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran, took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. And that would be the southern part of Israel, as God had given this promise that he would have the land, even though it was just a promise at that point. We're going to sing as our hymn, as we think about these promises and the patriarchs wandering, and later the people under Moses, and about our own pilgrimage, as we sing number 598. When we get to the thought here of Jordan, the Jordan River was the boundary that they had to cross. It was at flood stage, and God took them over that, and that's how they entered the promised land. Someday we're going to go as Christians to a promised land. 598, we'll stand to sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Thank you. Page 845 in the hymnal, we have the Apostles' Creed, and we'll use this now as a summary of the Christian faith. We do this because Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please greet some neighboring worshipers before you're seated. Let's pray. Father God, we do give you songs of praises. And to think that you are with us in the pilgrimage of life. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the true stories in the scriptures and the lessons there, how we can connect with those who are our spiritual fathers and mothers in the faith. Lord, as their story is our story, and Lord, as we've been grafted into the Israel of God, as pictured as the olive tree, and we've been grafted in, we thank you that your gospel goes out into all the world. And as Abraham was told that in him, and later specifically through his descendant, Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Lord, we pray that you would show to us the wonder of that blessing which is upon your church, that all who bless your church will be blessed and all who curse your church will be cursed. We ask God today that we would see your church grow and increase as you've given this task to take the gospel into all the world and make disciples. And we ask, Lord, that we would be disciples here now, that we would always be learning and growing in our faith. We thank you, God, that we can be part of your church. And we pray that as a body of Christ, as members of the body, as those who've been given different gifts from one another, that we would be connected and we would be part of the work of your church, using our gifts and being so connected that we would rejoice with those who rejoice, the good things that happen, and we would mourn with those who mourn. And today, Lord, we pray for the Knudsen family and their loss, and we pray, God, also for other families who have lost loved ones recently and in months back. And Lord, as these families feel loss, we pray, God, that you would comfort them with your word, with your spirit, with your people, with your church. And Lord, we ask that you would help us as we deal with the loss of important people in our lives, but with the expectation that we will see them again. And Lord, we pray that you would lift up those who are not well in need of healing. And we think of those on our prayer list, people that are in the hospital and those outside the hospital, recovering from surgeries and dealing with cancer treatments. And we ask God for healing We pray for your mercies with those who call to you. And today, Lord, we give you praise for all that's good in our lives. We recognize that every good thing comes from you. We thank you for a country where we can worship freely. We would pray for those in government that they would be able to lead our country in the right direction, following your word, having laws that are based on your laws, laws that are just and good. We pray, Lord, for those in our nation's military, for their protection. We pray, Lord, that there would be peace in our world, that countries with crazy leaders would have better people to govern. We ask, Lord, today for your blessing on our region as we are in need of good weather for calving and also later spring's work, that you would provide the moisture at the right times, that there would be a good year for those in agriculture. We ask, God, today that you would bless us as a church, that we would be part of that great missionary work that's ongoing, bringing the gospel to every nation, and also that we would be those who are able to train others and to make disciples right here in our church, in our families, that we would have children that grow up knowing about Christ and knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. And today, Lord, we pray that you would hear us as we offer the petitions that Jesus gave his followers to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we're going to read for the gospel. And I'll have you, if you'd like to read the New Testament lesson at home, it reflects back on Abraham's life. That Abraham wasn't saved by his good works. He was saved by believing God. He was saved by his faith that God would carry out his promise of a son, of a nation, of a land. And he was saved by faith. Faith in ultimately in Jesus Christ. We're going to read John chapter 3. I hope it's a passage that you're familiar with. It's one, if you haven't grappled with it, it corrects our theology, where we're tempted to just rely on logic, where here Jesus gives understanding of God's work in the lives of his people. So we're going to read John chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Hear God's word. Now there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we've seen, But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Thus far, the reading from God's holy word. If you want to keep your Bibles open, you can use that for the sermon time. And we're going to turn to number 538 for our hymn of preparation. We'll sing number 538, While the Offering is Received. And at the doxology, children 3 years age through third grade may go to children's church in the basement, Cedar Fellowship Hall of the Church.